Bun.
This is 70mm Rejected, a podcast for 70mm fans just like you. With me today, but not always, is some guy, gal, non-binary pal I know from the internet, Kirby.
Hello.
And we have not one, but two, besides myself, towers of village podcasting power. Whoa. Joining us here. returning for another helping from the amazing Relatinos. Ismail, I'm so happy to be actually on a recording with you, man.
Same. I'm truly feels great to be here.
All my pitches that I DM to you and Ron and Guti, they keep getting shut down. So it's nice to be on a movie show with you.
Ron, you know, he's just coked out of his mind right now. So I shouldn't be saying any of that stuff. Who knows? Yeah, like Ron's going to be like, what the fuck is going on? All right, everyone's going to say, like, what's going on? But we got to figure something out so we can make it happen. But we're here. We're here tonight. Philip,
we are, and making his 70mm Rejected debut, the Kaiju King himself, Jasher.
Guys, it is so good to be here in this abandoned cabin, camping with you all. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's we wouldn't have it any other way, Jasher. In the event that something happens, I won't bury you because you're our friend.
You're not going to bury me.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that to Jasher, you know?
Well, I won't pick up a chainsaw on you if that's any condo.
This is truly love at first recording.
So, yeah. Guys, this is so awesome. I'm so stoked to be here with the three of you.
I'm very excited. This is crazy. This is a good way to go out for season two. I think this will be a special one.
Podcast crossover event. I don't think anyone's ever done this before.
No.
Kirby, have you launched a podcast yet?
Win, Kirby. Win.
Oh, man. You know, I would love to start a podcast, but I have no idea what I would even remotely do a podcast on.
Hey, that doesn't stop everybody, so.
Well, maybe we can I've been trying to get producer Paul to start a King Gizzard podcast with me, but, you know, I haven't heard back from him yet, so we'll see.
Those dang DMs, man.
I don't even know what that means. Wikipedia link for that.
Oh, Jasher, I'm going to take you on a journey, my friend.
Kirby, and I see the music channel in the
I was just going to say, is this a music channel thing?
Yeah, I see it light up. Kirby going crazy about King Gizzard and the Lizard mm-hmm. Wizard.
I need to check it out.
I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on that note, every episode is selected from one of the many movies that 70mm has thrown into the trash heap, but we've managed to extract them before it got too funky and give them their frightful time to shine.
That is right. And contrary to 70mm host Danny, Proto, and Slim, I feel like every time we release an episode, they're like, when did we reject that? And it's like, no, guys, we've done a lot of these pulls. We've got a lot of movies to choose from. We are finishing off season two of 70mm Rejected, and we are headed back to the October 2021 horror movie bracket to cover what might be one of the grooviest films ever made, Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead.
Groovy.
Love it.
Amazing.
And as always, we will talk about our thoughts on this movie, and we have a lot of thoughts about this movie. This is a big show, people. Huge. Mm-hmm. But first, we have to start with our village update, as always. Ismail, over to you.
Thanks, Kerb. So a lot of things going on since the last recording. Turns out that tape deck's got another thing cooking up, and it just we have a new podcast in our midst, and
a big one, huge one,
some say the biggest. So Danny, host of the 70mm podcast, now has a new show. Yeah. The Yeti is Broken. It's about rides, man. Yeah, a bunch of rides, and what a ride it is to be listening to that podcast, you know? So
honesty time, I've begun, there's up to four episodes now. I've only listened to one of the main ones in the intro, but it's a very slick show, and they're really smart and dropped a bunch right away so mm-hmm. that you could kind of get a flavor of it. If they keep it up, I think this could be a huge show.
Absolutely. It's also another co-host is Radley Relics. right?
Radley's ghost as well.
Oh man, Radley. Okay, I'm gonna put this on record. Radley's like their creations that they put on Instagram all the time. They're absolutely incredible. Has been like shouted out by Guillermo del Toro himself various times. It's just
the crimson bank piece. The crimson peak piece. Yeah. Oh, the crimson Radley. Peak. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Radley truly a master. A master.
So. Someone send that to me. Someone put that to me in DMs. Let's get that in the show notes. I have not. I don't know if I'm up on that.
Oof. One second. You'd be up on it. Let me get this real quick.
I'm really enjoying listening to it. The intro music's great. It sounds great. Obviously, the art by Danny, it rules. It's a blast.
Yeah, I love theme park lore and stuff. That's something that has always fascinated me. I guess it's kind of a niche kind of thing, but I mean, theme park attraction history, especially like Disney or Universal, it's like endlessly fascinating for me. So the fact that one of my favorite podcasters is doing a whole show about it is like chef's kiss. So
the people who are into it are really into it. So I'm looking forward. I like theme parks, and I also grew up in Florida, like near Disney World. I went a ton as a kid, but I never got into it as like a major hobby as such. So I'm looking forward to learning all the history that I see people in the comments go, oh, when are you going to talk about this or that? And I'm like, I don't know about any of this. So I'm along for the ride.
I'm so jealous of you guys.
Does know anything about? Yeah, I was going to say, does New Zealand even have roller coasters?
We have a single theme park in New Zealand called Rainbow's End.
One single theme park?
A single theme park. And it sucks. I'm sorry, Rainbow's End.
Oh, wow.
I know Rainbow's End employees love 70mm Rejected, so I just want to apologize. But it's not great. And I'm so jealous seeing all the rides, all the theme parks you guys have. I'm so jealous, I think when Danny announced the show, the title is because there is a famous theme park, right, where there is a giant broken animatronic yeti. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks amazing. It looks amazing. I was just blown away you guys have stuff like that. Am I leaving New Zealand?
I'm looking at Rainbow's End pictures.
Come to a station.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. This Radley Relics is... Wow, this is impressive.
I think you were saying wow about Rainbow's End, Philip, and I was so confused.
Yeah, same. I was like, Philip, we don't have to make Jason feel any better.
We're pivoting
to Jason knows
Rainbow's End corner over here. This is Radley Relics. I say Rainbow's End, see? I'm very susceptible right
Radley's
now.
Rainbow's End.
Radley's I'll buy Rainbow's. That piece, Radley. Not buy that piece.
This is impressive, man.
I'm looking forward to checking out Danny's new show. And I don't know if we've mentioned it on 70mm Rejected before, but the movie Mixtape officially joined Tape Deck, right?
Ooh, yes.
Were they not
crazy
on before?
News. No, they weren't.
They were not on it before.
In their Hawk the Slayer episode, they received a letter from Tape Deck Legal officially asking them to join. It was an amazing
day. Nice.
And I've seen that they're officially a part of it, which is awesome. I'm so happy for them.
Congratulations, Movie Mixtape.
Congrats.
Congratulations to the Movie Mixtape. Truly, they very well deserved.
Yeah.
They knock it out of the park every single week. Like, it's incredible. Really great. I don't know what to say anymore.
No, that's why Yeti is broken. What else?
The Yeti's broken.
What else is going on in the Discord? I have not been quite as active lately. There's a lot of sales. I know I'm big on
the deals,
the AV club and the deals and the physical media enthusiasts. We are getting just brutalized with, and it's like
that indicator
very much
sale.
First world, like privilege problems, just sale after sale after sale of all these
what am I gonna
labels.
Do?
And it's like, I spent Slim and everyone's giving me a hard time of all, using all my gift cards, but I spent a lot of money stacking up on spaghetti westerns on Arrow sale. And now it's like every late. And I did get one nice big set from Radiance actually behind me there. But yeah, I can't buy every sale. The Philip. Indicator one's going hard. The Kino one's going hard. The Warner Archive that your associate Ismail went hard on.
Oh, yeah.
He got like 15 or 20 bankrupt. Warner Classic Blu-rays.
Yeah, it was insane. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Guti, he's a real one. He's all about the deal. He's on AV Club. He's on deals all the time.
All these. I wish we could all have like a physical media meetup where we could just hang out and like watch Blu-rays together.
Imagine
special features.
What do we do? I don't know if anyone features? Has a big enough house for that, or if anyone is close enough for
the
that.
The lake house. We could go to the lake whenever house anybody, for a weekend.
Oh, dude,
we
go to Rainbow's that would End. Be incredible. I'll bring suitcases full of Blu-rays. Then just
yeah,
that would be great.
Philip, I just wanted to like thank you personally for the unboxings you've been doing on Instagram. I saw one on the Substance account, and it was like it was sexual stuff, man. I was like,
thank you,
man.
Yeah. Imprint has been great. Shout out to the folks at Imprint. They were the first label to start sending us Blu-rays, and it's been great.
All these unboxings, because the 70mm boys have been doing it on the Patreon as well.
The Brothers yeah. one killed me today.
Oh, yeah. So funny. The high and low one.
Slims made me so jealous. I wanted that Ghost Watch set, and I was like, I know. Should I buy this? But then the limited edition sold out before I pulled the trigger, and like, I mean, I'll maybe get the regular one at some point, but that limited edition one is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm plotting getting into Slim's house somehow and stealing it just so you guys can keep it on the download. I'm in another country, but I'm plotting. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Paul, bleep that out.
Cut it out. But yeah, one of the sets that I also want to buy is actually the Evil Dead set. I know that they're like the Evil Dead has like it's I think it's all three movies and it's got Ash versus the Evil Dead.
So it's got the first two because of rights issues.
Yeah, not the 4K
Army
set.
Of Darkness.
It's the Evil Dead 2, and Ash versus Army of Darkness. Or Ash versus Evil Dead.
It's just forgotten about Army of Darkness.
Which is honestly fantastic. I don't know if we're gonna have time to get into that in the episode, but plug if you're interested at all in Ash versus Evil Dead, which may or may not be on Netflix. It has
such
been before.
A good show.
Lot of freaking fun.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen it. I've never seen it either. Awesome.
Guys.
Three seasons of, I think there's 10 30-minute episodes in each season, something like that. It's like content-wise, it's a ton and it's great.
There's crazy stuff. There's like this real gory, like
unfortunately ends in a cliffhanger though.
Yeah.
No!
There's a scene in like a sperm donor's office. I won't get into it, but it's just crazy, wacky stuff.
NSFW there. Yeah, that was pretty gnarly.
Oh, man.
No, a lot of fluids in the entire series, but it's very good stuff.
Have you not seen the whole series, Kirby?
I've only seen the main trilogy of Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. And I should add that I've only seen Army of Darkness once.
I have not watched any trailers lately. I saw Scarlett Johansson has a thing with Channing Tatum, but I haven't watched that.
No. I try to. I'm actually. I'm an anti-trailer. I think it's very, very famously. I don't watch any trailers. I just look at like log lines or just like if it's a director or an actor that I really want to check out.
I watch the first teaser usually if it's like
teasers are nice.
Under 90 seconds just to get a little flavor.
Oh, you
which
mean
I like?
You mean like the teaser before the trailer actually starts? Like trailer starts now.
No, that's stupid. That's the dumbest crap in the world.
Favorite part.
Oh, so stupid.
I love teaser trailers though. Yeah, teaser trailers where there's just vibes, like just like I don't know, like 30 or a minute, 30 seconds to a minute of just like what is this movie gonna feel like.
Yeah,
love those. But yeah, all the other plot stuff, no thanks.
Has anybody seen the trailer for Riddle of Fire?
That movie with the kids?
No.
I don't even know. Like, it looks like a coming of age kid story. They're all riding around on dirt bikes with paintball guns. And it's like maybe slightly a teeny bit imaginative, fantastical. It just looks like a very sweet, exciting movie.
That poster looks pretty cool.
Watch listing right now.
Yeah,
I'm really excited for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I think today they released some more footage from it. And it was
I'll watch the teaser for that, but I don't want to watch any trailers.
It was like a behind the scenes. It was like a legacy of Planet of the Apes and like Andy Serkis.
All of
was
the Planet of the Apes movies not made by Tim Burton rule.
That one's fun. You know, that one's fun. But yeah, I'm excited for Planet of the Apes. The trailers have really ruled for that. I think in the trailer, it might be a spoiler, but they announced this is like hundreds and hundreds of years past the last trilogy, and I didn't expect it to be that far past. So I'll be excited.
Good. More, if they're going to make all these freaking franchise movies, they should give themselves a lot of distance and tell their own stories.
Totally. Yeah, I'm excited.
So that they can still say to the studios, oh, this is a Planet of the Apes movie, but then it's its own thing. Romulus, I did see. That looks interesting. Because that's got a little bit of an Evil Dead connection.
That looks aesthetic.
That looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Alien movies. I think like Alien and Evil Dead, we'll get into it, but they're two of my favorite franchises ever. So I'm so excited that we're getting more Alien stuff finally. And a TV show later this year as well, apparently.
Ooh. Yeah.
So we're going to be eating good.
And I think it's directed by Fede Alvarez, right?
Yes, he's incredible.
Fede, the master of horror himself.
Are we going to get a real Latino? Ismael, come on for that.
He's Uruguayan. I'm just
or
saying.
Or Don't Breathe, which rules and is gnarly.
Man, his Evil Dead movie, too, is pretty grotesque. Pretty intense. Yeah.
It is mean and ugly and pretty fantastic.
Really good.
Oh, man. I didn't see his Texas Chainsaw Massacre one, but I remember watching the original Texas Chainsaw and being like, yo.
Which one did he got me excited. Netflix one, not good. IMO.
I love that one.
Mileage may vary. Did you? Okay, I need to give it another shot.
Leatherface going up against influencers on the bus. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Never thought you'd see it.
Yeah.
I like stupid stuff.
This is
stuff,
how
guys.
I find out that there was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
It just came right to Netflix. I watched it the night it dropped.
I just leech off other people's Netflix, you know.
Netflix is one of the few that I do pay for now, but we'll probably be dropping it soon. Anyway, that's not why you're here. Listen to 70mm rejected. Any more Discord that anybody have? I mean, today I think it may be worth saying we are recording on the day of the eclipse. There are a lot of families and their kids watching the eclipse in the Discord. Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned that there was an eclipse. No one in New Zealand
doesn't
talking
come
about
out in New Zealand, you know.
What is a moon? What's going on?
I don't know. Yeah, when you heard that reference, that's no moon. Tisha's like, what are they talking about?
Moonfall? Nonsense name for a movie.
What's falling? What is that big old rock?
Did you guys all see it today? Did any of you guys see the eclipse?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little bit of it. It was super cloudy where I was, but there was a point where you could actually see it through the clouds. And I posted a picture of it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I'm in Kansas City, and we got like almost 90% coverage. It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It was very weird. Like if you didn't look right at it and you just kind of like looked at everything, the lighting situation was very bizarre.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah, I had friends in Ohio who said like, you know, they saw the whole total eclipse, and they said like, you know, it did get really dark and like a temperature dropped like 15 degrees for like 5 minutes, and it was crazy.
Not for me. It was only like 20% coverage or something like that. I went outside, looked at it directly in the sun. I'm just kidding. I just
is that a no-no? Is that like
Jay? Sure,
does
I don't
burn
know
your
you
eyes
look
out
at the sun for a while. But yeah, I think if you look at the sun, I think they say like if you look at it for like even like 5 seconds straight, like it could have permanent damage to your eyes.
Yeah, don't do that.
Pretty intense.
And is it like
intense.
Get even crazier when it's eclipsing, or is it okay to look at it when it's covered up? I need you guys to explain this to me.
Consult your doctors on that. But I'm thinking no.
This is not a medical podcast.
I should be looking at the sun. Okay, I'll note that down.
I would say if the moon ever makes an appearance in New Zealand, Jay Sher, and if that moon ends up being in front of the sun at any point, I would say probably wear some sunglasses at the very least.
Thank you for looking out for me as well.
Probably something
thank you.
More.
You
know? This has been Ismael's medical corner. So. Yeah.
Wow, we've been recording for 23 minutes, fellas.
Yeah.
It's gold.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you. I could just talk to Jay Sher all day long. And we don't even have to record. That's just me being like, I want Jay Sher as my friend. That's what I said. Yeah.
I'll think about accepting you as a friend as well.
I'm waiting on the application, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, fingers crossed. So,
yeah. I was wondering, like, you joked about it, Kirby, but something that is rife throughout the VHS Village community is all of these masters of horror, right? And we're talking about a horror movie today. Do you guys have like a master of horror that is the master of horror for you?
I'd say John Carpenter personally.
Yeah.
But that's mostly a bias because like The Thing is my all-time favorite horror movie. So
yes,
that's like a perfect movie in my eyes.
I think my holy trinity would be Carpenter, Romero, and Wes Craven.
Nice. I need to watch more Romero stuff. I've only seen the original Night of the Living Dead. I need to catch them
just
all.
The one?
Yeah, just the first one.
Yeah, don't listen to Slim. Get his trying to be cute Dawn of the Dead review out of here. Wow. Dawn of the Dead rules.
Call his ass out.
Dawn of the Dead rules.
Yes, yes.
He gave it like 2 or 3 stars and said, Yawn of the Dead. I just threw my phone across the room when I saw that.
Wait, he gave the original Dawn of the Dead, or did he give the...
Yeah, the original.
It wasn't the Zack Snyder one? Oh, wow.
Anyway. Classic. Romero's got a wonderful body of work. And it's very, like, even as he got more success, it all feels very independent and anarchic, and he almost never lost his edge. The very last Dead movie is pretty rough. Survival of the Dead, wait till the very, very end. He's got a lot of great stuff early in his career.
Okay.
For me, I would say, to be very on brand, but Carlos Enrique Tawada, he's a Mexican film director. He made like 3 or 4 horror movies kind of back to back in a run, and all of them were incredible. Veneno para las Hadas, The Poison for the Fairies, Even the Wind is Afraid, Blacker Than the Night, and The Book of Stone.
So these are not in a series. These are just movies that he created.
Yeah, movies that he made. And all of them are horror movies, and all of them are fantastic.
Also,
speaking of physical media,
90 minutes, 88 minutes. These are going on my watch list.
Yeah.
Tubi and Shudder. Yes.
Yeah. Shudder recently got a couple of his movies. The one that I would mainly recommend right off the bat is Poison for the Fairies. It's absolutely fantastic. Love it. Check that out.
3.7 average. 3.7 average. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's on TV. Oh my gosh. Does it get
that
better?
And also Peter Jackson. I mean, Brain Dead.
That's who I was going to say, man. Like, Peter Jackson's only done his 3 horror flicks. I guess he's done more. He did Bad Taste, Brain Dead, Meet the Feebles, and then he did The Frighteners, and he's dabbled in a bit.
Yeah, but Meet the Feebles.
He's done some cool stuff, man, especially if you love Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and stuff. Brain Dead is just as wacky, if not even more so.
I watched it because of Jay Sher, and it's a 5-star movie. It is so good.
Yep. I've seen Peter Jackson, all of like Master of Horror. The like money shot big scenes, but I've never actually watched the movie. I need to actually watch the whole
thing. It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
I know I'll love it. Is there like a loaded out edition of that? I should get that.
No, he's been for like the last 5 years, Peter Jackson's been like, I'll release my first 3 horrors on 4K. I thought
there was like a Blue Underground
soon.
Or something. Or
there might be a Blu-ray.
Real
good 4K. I'm just waiting for it.
Gotta get that 4K of Brain Dead.
Yeah.
Well, those are the movies. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, here. Like, when those movies made, and I love like the independent tactile nature, but when stuff made on like a Super 8 camera is blown up to 4K, like you can kind of get, oh wow, like I see all the strings here. Yeah, I kind of like a Blu-ray. Though, right? Like Blu-rays are very good. We don't need 4K
it's
for everything.
So
Blu-rays
to
are
see
good.
Those for me though, like to see the strings sometimes. Like there's this one very old Mexican movie, El Vampiro, the vampire, and in it you can straight up see like a bat flying through, and you can straight up see the string, like totally see the string all throughout the bat, and I'm just like, yes, it's an error, but man, it just feels like, I don't know, it's like it reminds
kind of endearing
you, like,
right?
It's endearing, that's the word. Yeah, that's the word. Thank you, Jason.
I love it too. It just like shows how they made it and just the ingenuity and creativity that's kind of put into it. I love that stuff as well. That's why I love this movie.
Yeah. Well,
thank you for asking, Jay. Sure, Ismail. I'm very excited to check out those Mexican horror movies on Shudder and Tubi.
Me
here.
Too.
Please do. Please do. It's great. And maybe next time, Real Latinos. You know, I gotta run this by Ron and Guti, but a Tabuada journey would be incredible. So
holding you to that. Yeah. Holding you to
yeah.
it.
All right. Yeah.
And the CD journey.
We'll do. Yeah. Anything to get people to watch those movies. Those are great. Yeah. But yeah, those horror movies. They're just a really fun time, kind of like the Evil Dead. You know what I mean?
The Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead.
The right. Evil Dead.
30 minutes in, and we're about to start talking about this movie.
We'll blame Paul yeah. for not keeping us on track.
Yeah, our producer Paul really dropping the ball here, letting us run wild. Paul, he's not even on the call anymore. He went out and You want to go look at the eclipse?
Burning his eyes out.
That's the actual moon now, Paul. That's not the eclipse. That's just the moon.
It's so dark. It's so eclipsed right now.
This is insane. Oh, man. Anyways. So Philip, what is the Evil Dead? Can you tell us a little bit about what were we even getting ourselves into?
Okay, The Evil Dead. I don't know if you want to put in some nice music there, whoever's editing, but The Evil Dead. The Evil Dead is a movie about a group of kids, young adults, it's unclear, looking like maybe college-ish or so, getting a little Airbnb, except it's a place that nobody has seen or been to, or by the looks of things, that nobody's been to for, like, quite a number of years, actually. I don't even know who it is that rented them this place when we find out the actual ownership situation. But anyway, it's a group of kids go to a spot to do some drugs, to have some sex, to also have a fifth wheel for some reason.
Oh, man.
For being such a small group.
That fifth wheel on a couple's getaway, I put in my review, that's the true horror of The Evil Dead.
It is.
Like, having to go through that.
Can't even
and I
imagine.
Think she's also Ash's sister,
those
right?
Those gotta be some thin walls, too, in that cabin.
Oh, man.
And then Ash's sister's just hanging out. So anyway, they go for a nice little weekend giveaway in the dirtiest cabin possible. And they find a little tape. And the tape happens to be a ancient Kandarian ritual. And things get really goopy. Really messy and really dangerous. There is some unfortunate things that happen along the way, some of which we may even get into that Sam Raimi maybe doesn't quite disavow, but maybe acknowledges some of it. He even goes a little bit too far, but some very gnarly things ensue, a little bit of humor, a lot of ingenuity, and a lot of heart, and it does not really end well. So that except is the Evil
for
Dead.
Except for Bruce Campbell. You know what I mean? Dude was a psycho from the beginning. He must have wanted this, dude. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but like right at the beginning of the movie, he looks straight into the camera like an absolute psycho. I could not believe what I was seeing. Bruce, chill. Oh my God.
He looks out the car door. Like, what was he going? What was he about to do? Looking down at Rich.
I don't know, but it's suspicious.
Crazy guy. Yeah.
So was this a first watch for any of us? Kirby, was this a first watch for you? Did I see that?
No, this was not a first watch for me. It was a first watch in a while. I have only seen this movie about maybe three or four times because Evil Dead 2 was one of my all-time favorite horror movies, and I've seen that movie front to back many times. So I was definitely excited to revisit this one because it had been a while.
I know we've been chit-chatting a lot, but I'd love to hear everybody's like first experience with like Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, and this whole series kind of in general. How did the whole Evil Dead property monolith, how did that enter your guys' lives?
I grew up loving Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy. Like, that was just my favorite thing in the world. I burned through those VHS tapes like nobody's business. So that was my like first introduction to Bruce Campbell as well, was just his funny bits he has in those movies. And I love them. When he's playing the waiter in Spider-Man 3, is it?
Oh, yeah.
It's just the funniest way how he's pronouncing Peter Parker's name. And then as I grew up, I got more and more into horror. And I just was like, man, I need to check out Sam Raimi's horror because I loved his Spider-Man film so much. And I was kind of blown away. And I think everyone is when they probably first watch Evil Dead, because it's the goofiness of the next couple films probably is what people associate with it a lot. Like Bruce Campbell saying groovy and cutting off his hand. Whereas,
so I'll say that too. What order did you guys watch them? I'd love to hear that too. Cause that is Evil Dead fans. It's a wide ranging deal because The first one is so extreme and explicit. Like if an older person introduces you, like not everybody watches the first one first. What order did you guys watch them in?
Yeah, I can see why. I watched the first one first, and when I first watched it, I wasn't the biggest fan, and I definitely loved the second and third one more. But that was my introduction. Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, to answer both questions, I started watching this movie, like these movies, just a couple years ago, and that's because I just would not watch any horror movies ever until I got married. Yeah, like Jackie,
because your wife loves them, Jackie. Yeah,
she loves horror movies. Like her favorite childhood movie was Chucky, and I'm like, yo, like, Monsters
childhood
Inc.
movie
was,
yes,
yeah, I know it's crazy.
I watched those movies way too young.
Yeah, that was insane. Like I said Monsters Inc. was like the scariest for me, you know. And yeah. Like, yeah, and like that was it. And I got married. But she loves horror movies, and she loves The Evil Dead. And she said, oh, you should check these out. And I said, okay. And I heard a lot about Evil Dead 2. I heard a lot about so many people talking about how
that's
they love it.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big
one. Bill Hader talks about it a lot. Edgar Wright talks about it a lot.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2.
Your personal friends.
Yeah, my personal friends. Yeah, I got them on speed dial. We meet up every Wednesday to do Dungeons and Dragons, but you know, it's whatever. So imagine those two. Oh man. Anyways. I made it a point to try and watch them in order. And I would say I like Evil Dead 2 much more than The Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Even though I like The Evil Dead. I do like it. But I just, The Evil Dead 2 is just, whew, it's real, real fun.
Something else, man.
Yeah. I love how in The Evil Dead 2, it's basically a remake of The Evil Dead, but like there's just no backstory whatsoever.
Second shot at it.
yeah. There's no backstory whatsoever. You just like go straight in into the Deadite stuff. And I was like, wow, this is intense. So, that's, and actually, I've never seen Army of Darkness. I know.
It's mad. You've been holding out on telling us that, man.
Yeah, I have. What's going on? And it's finally out. And I'm gonna step out of the recording now. So
we're here for you.
See you guys later. Okay. Yeah. but I really want to check it out. Actually, I might check it out tonight just to.
Oh, awesome. It's like 80 minutes.
Ooh, baby. Super easy. All right. Okay. I think I might check it out tonight then.
It's not a horror either, Kirby. So you can even watch it without Jackie.
Yeah, it's much
more
of like an adventure kind of movie. Yeah.
Well, as long as I got Bruce Campbell by my side, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Kirby, what about you?
So Evil Dead 2 was my first Evil Dead. And actually, speaking of Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead is one of my all-time favorite movies. And I knew that Edgar Wright has cited the Evil Dead movies as a big influence on that movie. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's such an iconic movie. I got to watch it anyway. And so I watched the second Evil Dead first and was blown away by it. It was crazy. It was hilarious, gory, all that kind of good stuff. And for whatever reason, I never really went back to watch the first one for a while because I had learned that, you know, the opening 10 minutes of Evil Dead 2 is basically the plot of this movie. It's just condensed down to just the two characters. And then at the end, when Ash gets possessed and he's flying through the woods, that's when like it actually canonically picks up from the first movie.
I
was like, oh, well, I guess I really don't need to watch the first one. But I mean, obviously I did. And it's been a while since I've seen the first one after this recent watch. So I'm excited. It's quite a movie.
How about you, Philip?
So for me, Sam Raimi's original trilogy, I did backwards.
Did you really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Because we mentioned Army of Darkness is so fun and playful. And if you're a kid, The Evil Dead is some pretty gnarly stuff. And actually, I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, but the person who introduced me to the whole Evil Dead thing, because I was a Bruce Campbell fan, I was a huge and still am Briscoe County Jr. fan. And I was just obsessed with that when that was on TV. It's on Tubi. I believe it was.
Tubi, coming in clutch.
Briscoe County Jr. is genuinely one of my favorite things. But anyway, I had a youth pastor introduce me to the Evil Dead series. Starting though with Army of Darkness, because it's an adventure. It's medieval. It's silly. It's that's more of a, would that be more of like a 12 or a 15, I would say, for Army of Darkness, right? In your?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Army of Darkness is like good, clean fun. But then I saw Evil Dead 2 because that was the big one. And I liked Evil Dead 2 a lot. And then I remember when I first saw The Evil Dead with a big group of friends that like we played Xbox all the time with. And we're like, let's watch the first two because we liked Army of Darkness fine. But we really liked Evil Dead 2. And I don't think any of us had seen the first one. We're like, let's watch them both together and do a marathon. They're both like 80, 85 minute movies. They're pretty
short.
We were all very disturbed by The Evil Dead. Particularly, we're probably like 15, 16. Like that tree scene was gnarly.
Big yikes.
And it was the youth pastor's fault. You can trail it back.
This was a good amount of time had passed since then.
No. We're not going to get the pastor off the hook.
For that. Yeah, he didn't have me watch we also used to play the I forget which one it was because there's been several, but that Xbox Evil Dead game was a lot of fun.
There were some good ones for the 360, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, there were one or two really fun games. But yeah, so for the longest time, Evil Dead 2 I would always put was my favorite. But then a couple years ago, the Blank Check Boys did Sam Raimi and I rewatched them all and I'm like, man, Evil Dead 2 is so fun. But The Evil Dead, the original, it's got so much heart. And when you learn the story behind it and like how it launched both so many careers and just all these steps forward for horror movies. And like Ed Wright talks about, the first Evil Dead movie and the second one some, but that first one gave a lot of people permission to make movies. Mm-hmm. That like got a lot of independent filmmakers kind of like, oh yeah, you can just take a couple $1,000 and your friends and go make a movie that is good. Like once it got that Stephen King seal of approval, people are like, oh, like this couple $1,000 movie that a couple of kids from Michigan made in the woods, like like Ratatouille, like anybody can be a filmmaker.
I wrote a bit down about the story as well because I never realized he had just turned 20 when he made The Evil Dead. Like, that's crazy.
Wow.
A 20-year-old making this film.
Wow.
And the money, they ended up raising $300,000 for it, but it was mostly from family members and friends. So they were actually like going to family members and being like, hey, can you give us this money to make our movie?
Rich friend's dad. It's crazy. Yeah. Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell went to all their friends' dads who were like doctors and business owners and are like, hey, can we have like...
give me a couple
tens of thousands of dollars and buy shares in our movie.
I can't even imagine.
It took them a while and they got, well, they made, did any of you guys watch the Within the Woods short?
Yeah.
Little proof of concept movie they made.
Yeah. It's pretty gnarly too.
Rough.
Yeah.
But like you could see that they all had the chops and they did it.
I was going to say to talk a bit about the movie. Like if this dude is 20 years old making this movie, the effects on this movie are insane. Like having the makeup on this is crazy. Eye gouging is crazy. that like ankle stab with a pencil.
That gets me every single time.
I completely
there are different parts that I appreciate each time I watch it, but every single time I watch it, that ankle, they stick like the pencil in or whatever, and like, and they like dig it around. Like that is just like primal, viscerally upsetting.
Yeah.
The one that gets me is I think it's when one of the girls is reaching out of the grave and they're just like clawing at Bruce Campbell's leg and just pulling flesh out
just
of
all
it.
All his tendons are God. Yeah. How does Bruce not turn? Like, how is Ash still okay when someone else got like pricked a bit and then they turn?
Ash, we saw here, the second one. Yeah, no, he gets it.
Yeah, but in the first one, he's just chilling, you know?
So that's one thing that we should definitely talk about that I love about this whole series is the Deadites.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it, Deadites are like somewhere in between like demons and zombies. And it's not like usually with a zombie, it's like they want to eat, or a demon, it's like they want to like just inflict pain. And like the Deadites do, but the Deadites are like little stinkers. Like they're mischievous. They like to mess around with you.
Not just mess around, like, but freak you out. Like the Deadite Linda. Yeah.
They want to scare you. They want to spook you. They want to have a laugh. They want to have fun.
When Deadite Linda's sitting like cross-legged in front of the door, smiling, staring at the camera, I have to kind of look away because I'm like, I watched, full disclosure, I watched this by myself at night. Very brave of East Miami. You know? I will admit I was a little freaked out. I was like, oh man, I was too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you guys. Cause the stuff in this, it's just so different. Like her sitting there cross-legged, giggling away, the like slight tilting she's doing with her head, the way the makeup looks, it's obviously makeup, but it just all combines together to make something really that genuinely effective. Still scares me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it still creeps me out.
I can't remember if it's Ash or if it's whoever the other guy who was in there. He goes over and he just slaps her across the head to make her shut up. I was like, finally, somebody needed to slap this.
Stop the giggling, please.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. I would have just been like, shut up.
Oh, gosh. It was a lot. It was a lot. Distorted singing, sitting and smiling, writhing in the moonlit night. I'm like, yo, like this is tough, Linda. Chill out. Like it's crazy.
Well, and when she starts like singing like the little sing-songy after she's doing the cards, like the very like when the first possession is really revealed, that's just brilliant, effective filmmaking. Like the first half of the movie is kind of like an amateur low budget, what you'd expect, like a horror setup. But like that last half, especially the last 15, 20 minutes, is masterful.
Yeah.
It's really incredible stuff. And I mean, this is not a point that I remember every time about the movie, but just some of the things they do with the camera, obviously like the evil, like the force is what everybody remembers of the movie and rightly so, but just some of the ways even it's shot. He was working on a crazy level immediately right out the gate.
I think about the like panning shot when Bruce Campbell walks down to the cellar for the first time and you just have to slowly watch the camera go around the whole room.
Yeah.
Like there's that real creative stuff that you can see Sam Raimi, who's just 20 years old, has already got these real unique shots he's trying to do that will become kind of what he's known for, doing a lot of these creative things. So awesome to watch just as a like 20-year-old amateur almost.
Well, I also love the one, and I mean, I noticed it before, but I rewound it several times and just watched it over and over, just marveling at it. With like only 10 or 15 minutes left, he walks into one room and the camera is like upside down and pans over and around his head.
That blew my mind.
You know that was somebody with like, it was like on some sort of stick or something. Like I would love to see the behind the scenes of that, but I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like they just did that. They had hardly any money. They were out in the freezing cold, like away from their support system, and they just did it.
Yeah. They just really went out and did it. It's wild. Absolutely wild. And like I don't even know how, like they were very ingenious about like how well they did like all the gory stuff. Like I was talking about like that ankle scene or just like blood pouring out of wounds like a freaking hose. Like it's insane. Like how do you even think about like creating these shots when you're 20 years old? Oh man. Sam Raimi.
Yeah, and again, like this kind of horror, I feel like now we're in the 2020s, right? You can look at it and be like, oh, it's obviously fake. It's obviously over the top. But it's just the like grittiness and the down and dirtiness of them actually like making that all in the woods, just going at it, trying out all these new things. It is endearing and it is kind of like scary at the same time. And like at the end of the movie, the stop motion scene where they're all decomposing.
Oh,
yeah. I forgot that was in it.
Crazy, yeah.
I can't wait. In next month, I am hoping I can make it. I really want to. They're showing the 4K screenings of the first and second Evil Dead at my local theater.
Oh, that was so
and
cool,
I can't wait to see what that's going to look like on a big screen.
Some of it looked like oatmeal, which really put me off oatmeal for a bit.
You know? You got the sleeves? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like grits or something like goopy, chunky. Oh. Food.
And I love it. So
like whenever their blood is squirting out or like it looks like milk is like spraying out of that too.
He gets creative with the colors. Like it's like black and white and red and it's all sorts of fluids.
A lot of fluids.
Or like with the eye gouging.
Yeah. Love the eye gouging.
Yeah.
I love it.
And just cinematically, The first time I saw the movie, I remember the tree scene, and I remember when the reel to reel, like the camera comes on in the basement, and all the blood is coming down, like the blood is filling up the lens of the camera it's shining. Like that is extremely cinematic.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And so you Sam Raimi, the greatest director of all time.
Is he the master of horror?
Yeah, he should have a larger filmography.
Master of horror, Sam Raimi. I reckon too.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want him to make more stuff.
And it's funny because it's not all horror. I feel like there's still campiness to this movie.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite scene in the whole film. And it's just when Linda and Ash are looking at each other and Ash is pretending he's sleeping and he's got the necklace he has for Linda.
Yeah.
And it's so cheesy cutting between like their eyes darting. Necklace. And the music swelling up.
Yeah.
I love it too, because it's just so funny and again, very like silly. Endearing. Yeah.
It's very silly. But like, so you see the seeds of like handsome, charming Bruce Campbell like immediately.
Bruce Campbell, handsome fella.
Bruce Campbell rules.
Oh, man.
And he's committing to the bit as well. The amount of times he's like running into things or. That's getting blood soaked all over him.
Yeah. You mainly need someone to just go in. You know what I mean?
He's up for it.
And Sam Raimi seemed to have a lot, like, especially in Evil Dead 2, Sam Raimi seemed to really relish just putting him through the ringer.
Yeah.
Just abusing his friend.
But yeah, his commitment to the movie is what really sells it. Like, if you had someone kind of like winking at the camera, like, oh man, I can't believe I'm doing this. It's kind of like, it loses it all. But like he's just totally in. And that is, it's just so, so nice to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Another scene I really love, and it's because of Bruce Campbell's acting in it, is when Scott's obviously like, he's looking half dead. Who knows if he's a dead or not.
Yeah.
And like Bruce Campbell's trying to give him a drink and he's like still got hope that the situation is going to be okay while there's deadites all in the background and his friend's dead in front of him. And it's just the way Bruce Campbell like acts like he's losing his mind just gets me every time.
So good.
Sun's going to be up. We can get out of here. Won't you like that?
Sun's coming up in an hour. Please. Ash,
well,
please.
I mentioned that in my review. This viewing was the first time I had watched it since I watched the first, whatever reason, it got put on Stars, which is why no one saw it. And it eventually got canceled. But Ash versus Evil Dead, it was in season 2 or 3. I think it started in season 2, where they actually go back to his hometown in Michigan. And like, there's some really cool storylines and stuff like that. But all the people in the town thinks Ash is a psychopath who murdered his friends. And watching it this time with that Len, I was like, oh yeah, like, of course.
Yeah.
5 kids go to a cabin and like
one comes
4
out.
Of them are found brutally murdered there. And he goes, it was definitely ancient demons that did this.
It was
like,
the house, guys.
That's not a very like viable story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. I was reading up some more like behind the scenes stuff, and there was like 13 crew members who would just sleep overnight at the cabin while they were filming. People were getting like inadvertently stabbed and injured during the whole filming of the movie. Crew members are getting so cold that they were setting furniture from the cabin on fire to stay warm.
Oh my God.
Sounds like an ordeal.
It was a very unpleasant winter shoot, it sounded like.
Yeah, but then that's the stuff. That's the stuff, and I say this a lot when it comes to horror films. But hearing those stories and seeing like the creativity on display in The Evil Dead is kind of what makes me love movies. It's mm-hmm. just like friends, people like us going out and making something and putting their heart and soul into it. And it ends up being so fun and so inventive and so like ultimately scary in the end. Just really impresses me. And it makes me like invigorated to go and make my own film or go and do something with my friends, you know?
Yeah. Are we making a horror movie, fellas?
Are we doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a couple scripts ready to go. So let's do it.
Hey. Let's get we got our 70mm backers there, perhaps. Maybe we can get like 70 millimeter studios going.
Let's hope that Slim can give us $10,000 to start this venture. You know,
I see our producer Paul. He's doing a thumbs up. He's going to try and fund the whole film as well.
There it is.
He's
there
going to be our backer.
Yeah, no worries. We can max out a couple credit cards, Paul. Don't worry about it.
Perfect.
It's going to be fine. We'll make it back, baby. We're going to make so much money.
Stephen King will recognize us.
Exactly. I was just going to say, we just got to get that Stephen King stamp of approval.
I've got one more story. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but apparently when they were done with the film, they created a cache of like different props and objects of the Evil Dead movie, and they buried it under the side of the cabin.
No way.
Apparently there's like a note there that they wrote down the secret hidden meaning of the Evil Dead.
No way.
And it's crazy that no one's found it. I think it's on like private property now, wherever they filmed a long time ago. Ooh. But after making these Evil Dead movies, yeah, I think it's you just can't find it. But no one's found this cache. No one knows the hidden meaning of these films.
So is that real or is that an urban legend?
It's apparently, who knows? It's probably something Bruce Campbell's making up, but I choose to believe. I choose to believe.
Yeah, they all have made a living doing a lot of other stuff, but because this movie was so successful, they all can do cons from here to eternity. Like as long as they're alive, they can do cons from The Evil Dead. And
yeah,
I've seen Bruce Campbell talk a lot about basically fans going, and while I think the cabin got demolished, and before it got demolished, a lot of people just went and tore up stuff and took it, and they got him to sign like floorboards or that's like stuff so from cool. the decking, or just like ripping apart the house to have a little piece of the Evil Dead. I mean, this movie inspires a very unique and special fandom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Deadites, as they call them. You know what I mean? Gosh, what a...
Yeah. Well, we were heavy on the top end here, but we got a lot of villagers that have some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I have some village reviews, if you guys wouldn't mind me reading these bad boys out.
Why don't you go for it, Jasher?
I've got one here from Justin Perez. And Justin's the only villager I've met in real life as well. He came visiting New Zealand.
Way.
And we caught up for a beer, and it was awesome. So Justin said, precisely why I don't go through any drawers, closets, or basements at an Airbnb. 3.5 out of 5 from Justin.
You were so right, Justin. Never.
Remnant says, debating on this as a 4.5, so that I could for sure show I prefer Evil Dead 2, but this watch flew by and I have no nitpicks, not that I ever really did. So 5-star club it is. Gore effects are delightful. Love the taunting from the cellar even more this watch. Just an amazing miracle of a movie. I remember my first time ever watching this, thanks to a teammate who brought the PSP disc for this on a sports trip.
Wow. Wow.
Crazy.
PSP.
I was blown away. Had always considered myself a horror fan. Heck, I had even seen a couple of Campbell flicks on TV. Army of Darkness, Terminal Invasion, Alien Apocalypse. Needless to say, it showed me I had so much more to dive into. And still to this day, there's plenty of horror I haven't really sunk my teeth into. And a 5 out of 5 from Remnant.
Ooh.
From that PSP watch. Amazing.
Wow. A PSP
Those
watch.
UMD movies, they were the best. Yeah. And Godzilla. The American Godzilla on UMD.
That's
it was
so
crazy.
Funny.
The last one here I have from 70mm producer, Dale_A.
Oof.
And Dale said, so hard for me to review the movie at this point based alone on what I see on the screen. I'm too ingrained into the behind the scenes making of stories that make me love it regardless of the actual movie. A group of friends literally got funding from local doctors, dentists, family members, and made this. No matter what the finished product is at this point, it's ballsy and awesome. The effects are wonderful and the plot just thick enough to follow along. I've seen Evil Dead 2 so many more times that I forget how different the plot, or at least the carnage, is, and it's a joy to revisit. And it's a 5 out of 5 from Dale.
Boom.
What would you guys give this? Like, I'd love to hear your guys' actual ratings as well for Evil Dead, The Evil Dead. What do you think, Philip? Or Kirby?
Oh, sorry.
No, good.
After I finished my recent rewatch, I was banking on 4 stars. But after thinking about it for a while, I'm actually going down a bit to 3.5 stars. I do like this movie a lot. I think, you know, I really love how, you know, they were able to make this work with such a low budget and, you know, the whole independence of it. But I do love Evil Dead 2 a lot more.
Yeah.
That movie is a 5-star movie. I have so much fun every time I watch that movie. So, and unfortunately, every time I watch the first one, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, you know, Evil Dead 2 kind of did a lot of this better. But I mean, this is still a fantastic film. I really do like it. So I'm at 3.5 stars.
3.5 is good.
That's good.
Yeah. 3 stars is good, as they say. So yeah, 3.5, not bad. Yeah. Philip, you were on the docket.
I hit it with a 5. I mean, it's I love the movies, and this has just got such an incredible spirit. I mean, I'm with Dale. Part of me prefers 2 more in some ways, but just the passion and the love and the friendship and the gore, and it's just what it kicked off. Like,
yeah,
the core of this, Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, Rob Tappert, like the movies and the video games and the TV series and the other people that's inspired, like, it is hard to make this movie just this movie. It's an incredible movie, but like what this movie like did is just, it's astounding. It's magical.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I went ahead and gave it 4 stars. I did have it previously at 3.5, and I was looking at my previous review, and I think this movie was one of the first horror movies I ever watched, because in my very first review I put, this is the start of my scary movie journey, so I hope Jackie is proud of me. So you know, it's just what a way to start it off, you know. Previously, yeah, it was at 3.5, went up to 4, and you know, and I think it is just
more,
because
watches.
Yeah, just a couple more and I'll be fully indoctrinated into the Deadite fandom. But yeah, like I think it's great. I really do think it's really, really good. That tree scene's a little iffy for me.
Yeah,
it like is. Gnarly. Yeah. It's just very like out of place, and I'm just like, we don't really need that. But even then, I still think it's a good movie. I do think Evil Dead 2 is superior. I think it's it gets straight to the fun. You know what I mean? But this is kind of like your vegetables before going into you know, the main
goopy
over. Yeah, very goopy,
your bloody black bloody, milky goopy vegetables.
Yeah with the side of oatmeal. So yeah it's Evil Dead,
ding ding, that's the proto bell right there.
Yeah,
so that's where you put ding, the ding, proto ding. Bell in. Yeah. Right there.
I gave it 4 stars, but I had a really great time, and I think it's because both times I did watch it by myself. I feel like if I were to watch this with a couple of friends, just
how great would a 70 millimeter meetup of the 2 Evil Dead movies? Oh. Heck, I mean, they're so short, we could do the whole trilogy.
Yeah,
that would be a dream meetup.
That'd be so great. So great.
Amazing.
Yeah. Meet up in Rainbow's End over in New Zealand.
Come to me, please, guys. Yes, Rainbow's End meet up. Yeah. I'll sort it out.
Yeah. How about you, Jason? What's your rating?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, Evil Dead 2 is probably my favorite movie ever made. It's like my go-to. Wow. Just saying, this is the best film. Whoa. Just because I think that embodies like everything I love about movies. But the more I've watched this, the more I've warmed up to it, to the point now where I gave it 5 stars, because it just exactly what you were saying, Philip, like, it's just so inventive, so fresh, so fun. It kickstarted all these careers. It has kind of redefined the horror genre. And we've had so many horror filmmakers since that they've pointed back to this film. And I can't say it about a lot of films, but this film in particular, every time I watch like the Evil Dead, I just come away being like, man, like, I'm really impressed with the filmmaking on display here. I'm so impressed with how they can go out there, ask people for money, and then go and like make this really awesome, really groovy movie. So yeah, I'm 5 out of 5. And there are some like the tree scene kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I think I'm all in on the Evil Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. Really. Mm-hmm. Evil Dead. Really fun time. Real fun time.
I was joking about it in our chat, but have any of you guys watched Evil Dead the musical? Surely.
No.
I've seen clips. I've not watched it. Is there a whole show?
Yeah.
Up somewhere on like archive or YouTube?
I think it's on YouTube. They've recorded, a recording of Evil Dead the musical, and they've combined the first two films and kind of done a stage production with it. Wow. And it is so good. Like,
I know that Yoli from the, she's the Spaghetti and Freddy podcast. Yeah. They're part of the village. She, I think, goes every year to see.
Sees it live?
To see it live. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Please watch it. If you guys love the Evil Dead, check out Evil Dead the musical, because it just turns so many of these moments into songs and makes them even goofier, even gorier at parts. Mm. And there's a guy that plays Ash, and he's not Bruce Campbell, but he just nails the Bruce Campbell look and sound so much so that you just imagine Bruce Campbell singing when he sings. So that's my recommendation. Watch list it.
Just show of hands, and Kirby, you're blacked out here, but have we all seen Evil Dead Rise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What do we want the next one to be? Because now they've established there are three Book of the Deads all across throughout history. Like, what are we hoping for next?
More cheese graters.
Good question.
I mean, cheese graters.
Okay, I was a little bit let down. I like Evil Dead Rise a lot, but they built that up so much, and I was like, well, yeah, these.
That's the thing, though. I didn't see any trailers. Like, I didn't see anything about it.
I didn't see a trailer. Lee Cronin on Twitter was like, "You'll never look at a cheese grater the same again."
Lame.
And I was like, I just wish I wouldn't have known about it at all, because I thought they were gonna like grate someone's face off or do something super crazy. But I was like, that was kind of brief. And yeah, that looks like it sucked, but that wasn't like the big set piece of the whole movie.
Yeah, not by a long shot, but it was very memorable for me. Not knowing anything about it, I just thought, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, I don't really have a creative answer for you, Philip, because I think it's being currently rumored, but I'd love to see the protagonist from Evil Dead Rise and the protagonist from Fetty's Evil Dead remake. Mia, I think was her name.
They're talking
I'd love
about
to see
it.
Both of them team up. And I think it's rumored that Bruce Campbell's directing the next Evil Dead film. I think so. I think that's been rumored the last couple of weeks. So I'd love that. Bruce Campbell, back to the roots.
I want him in it. Like I thought you said that if they both are in, he's in to do one more, because he wanted to do more Ash versus Evil Dead, but then
Ash meets them.
Not enough people signed up for stars for that to happen. What a weird place for that show to land. But we did get three great seasons. I mean, I would like probably anything, because it seems like Sam Raimi, Rob Tappert, and Bruce Campbell care about this product, this IP. Almost hate to kind of talk about it in those kind of terms, but they care about it so much. Yeah. Like, whatever independent filmmaker they get to make the next one is going to have the right attitude kind of no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. But I would really, 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 really love to see Evil Dead Rise. One of the things they allude to is the vinyl recording is like the monks who were there. Like, I would love to see that Deadite outbreak. Like,
that'd be funny.
Just kick it back. Like, period piece, like religious extremists, all that, Dead Eights break out. Like, I would love to see that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would like to see it be a little bit more goofy again too. You know, like,
yeah, bring some of that.
Well, the goofy, I'd love to see the neat, like the far future stuff, like the time travel at the end. Spoiler alert for season three of Ash versus Evil Dead, when they go into the far future,
the apocalypse.
I would love, like, a crazy, like, zany, like, far future nonsense Evil Dead as well. And hey, if they were talking like time travel and all that crap, like, yeah, put them all together, put the two ladies and Ash together fighting the Deadites.
Heck yeah. It is pretty crazy, because you can tell they love the franchise so much. Like, the filmmakers they choose to carry on the legacy, it's just so weird to have a franchise where there hasn't been a miss. Like, all the movies, the show, it's all good, like, right?
Mm-hmm. There's only five, but all five are like good. Mm. There's not a bad one.
No.
I still have yet to see both the Evil Dead and Evil Dead Rise. I have not
Kirby, seen I'm going to be watching your letterbox like a
I just added them closely. To my letter to my watch list. Don't worry.
Yes.
Yeah, but how many things musical, do you have in your it. Watch list though? You know?
And from the show, like Kelly and Pablo are great too. Like before Pablo. Everybody gets too old and tied up, bring everybody back. My throw boy. Them all together.
Yeah.
And I'm not usually like this with franchises, but like throw them all together. Do like a big like Avengers of the Evil Dead, like Deadite Fighters. Put that's them all
a good,
together.
That's a good title. Avengers of the Evil Dead. You know, like that's just
put them all together. I usually am the person raging against
the machine,
crazy IP stuff, yeah. But give me a movie with all, but like, I trust that it would be good because yeah, like same. They care about this so much, like with both Fede Alvarez and then with Lee Cronin, they really, like Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell, like really shepherded the movies to be like, have your own vision and your own voice, but like do it with our principles. Mm-hmm. So even if they went totally nuts and did like a crazy time travel thing where they threw them all together, I would like that.
Yeah, I'm along for the ride too.
Ah, such great work from all you guys too. What a show and what a community.
Mm-hmm. Well, as fate would have it, we are already planning our next season, and we got a few new innovations in the mix. So, you know, stay tuned. But you know, you can always send us feedback at 70mmrejected@gmail.com. You know, let us know what you think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's us, guys. I think we're done here. Actually, oh, hold up. Do you guys hear that? That ominous tape playing in the background?
What? Are those trees going nuts outside?
Ismail, are you levitating right now? What the hell's going on?
Guys, I don't feel too great.
I do not know what's going on over there, but if you love the show, be sure to check out Slim, Danny, and Proto over at 70mm and consider supporting their Patreon to get Discord access and join us.
Seventy Millimeter Rejected is an Opossum production. Original artwork by Paul. Kinda original music by Dave with an assist from 70mm. The 70mm Rejected team includes Kirby, Latdad, Dime, Paul, RWT Chats, Bex, Grogu Dave, Josh, Nolan, Yoev, Ron, Trainer, and Ben Z. If you'd like to join us in the silliness, ping one of us in Discord. And if you'd like to support our friends at 70mm and upgrade to villager status, you can do so using the links in the notes. Goodbye.
This is an Opossums podcast.